Hello and welcome to Notes on Vulnerability. This is a podcast all about resilience, courage, and being human. I'm Alex and I'm a resilience coach. It's my job to break through the toxic ideas that tell us resilience requires gritted teeth and toughness and show you what really makes us adaptable, flexible, psychologically steady, and committed to not giving up, so that we can all be more resilient and use this powerful force, not just to survive, but also to thrive at life. How we approach being vulnerable is key to this, because vulnerability is the portal to connection, creativity, courage, and so many other good things. We need resilience to be vulnerable, and we need vulnerability to be resilient. The question I'm asking in this episode is whether it's possible to stop taking things personally. And this is a topic that I get asked about all the time, because taking things personally hurts. It's also something that we all do, but it really throws us off our game to be continuously dumped into hurt or anger or resentment just because someone has said something that has triggered us. And because of the culture we live in, there is a lot of shame wrapped up in being someone who does take things personally, like you're somehow less in control than other people or less mature. Well, I'll start by saying this. If you take things personally, there is nothing wrong with you. It happens to all of us. But if it's really affecting your life, then there is something you can do about it. And the first thing to do is to apply a little gentleness. A, because you deserve that. And B, because if you take things personally, it's not because there's some flaw or brokenness in you. More likely, something has happened to you at some point that has formed this response. And when you look at it objectively like that, it's simply a response to something that's happened in your life that has become a habit. Then you can see that there is no personal flaw there. It's literally just behavior that you can change. Some of us trust easily and appropriately because we've had a safe experience of life so far. We trust ourselves and we trust other people. Yes, there are wobbles and there is doubt sometimes, but on the whole, we don't tend to struggle to believe that people are worthy of being trusted and that things will generally work out. And some of us don't trust anyone, ever. Safety was not something we had in childhood or feel in adult life. We are constantly on high alert, looking for signs that we are acceptable and worthy in what other people do and say. And we're constantly being vigilant for any indication that our value might have dropped. If you fall into the latter category, even a bit or only sometimes, then it probably feels very difficult not to take things personally because your worth is tied up in how other people see you instead of how you see yourself. So what might that look like in practice? Here are a few examples. Someone you're dating tells you that they are not interested in seeing you again. Rather than acknowledging that they are expressing a preference that means they're probably not the right person for you, this feels like an assault on your self-worth. So you don't accept what they're saying, you get angry and you lash out. You get chatting with someone at the gym and you get on really well. As you're leaving, you say one thing that they seem to react a bit weirdly to. So after that, you go home and you feel overwhelmed with intrusive thoughts about not being likable. Your neighbour is selling their flat and puts up a for sale sign. This is against the rules of the apartment complex, but you don't just point this out. Instead, you send multiple threatening emails and make it your personal mission to ensure that they get penalised. Someone in your life who matters to you doesn't reply to your messages within what you consider to be an acceptable window of time. You can't concentrate and only feel good about yourself when they finally come back to you. If they don't reply at all, it feels insulting, and to you, this feels like a reflection of your worthiness as a person. A promotion comes up at work and your manager indicates that you'd be perfect for it. You do your best to get the role, but it goes to someone else who didn't really seem to try at all. You feel absolutely devastated and convinced that it's because the person making the decisions just doesn't like you and you're no good at what you do. These are just a few examples that weave in all kinds of issues around trust, attachment style, and how able you are to disconnect your self-worth from the actions of others, which are many of the things that will influence how personally you tend to take things in life. And if you do tend to take things personally, then probably not a day goes by without an example or two of this happening. I think a point that's worth making here is that as a society, we tend to put people who don't have emotional responses on a pedestal. It's like the cultural narratives we exist within glorify a mind that is uninfluenced by emotion. Perhaps it's no surprise then that one study found that 1 in 5 business leaders are psychopaths. For most of us though, this is not a healthy way of existing. When you have the full range of emotions, suppression is unhealthy and it's also unproductive. It will make you prone to outbursts of the emotions you're trying not to have, and you'll end up feeling overwhelmed by them because they've built up behind the scenes. If you want to be resilient, confident, and motivated, then you cannot suppress your emotions in this way. The point is that it is healthy to have a reaction when someone says something hurtful to you or does something hurtful. And the thing is that reactions happen so fast in us that you cannot stop them. So don't waste your energy trying. The secret to not taking things personally actually comes from how you deal with that initial reaction. That is where you can make a real difference to this. So the first step to not taking things personally is just let yourself have the reaction. Don't try and suppress whatever you feel or see it as wrong. And notice if you're shaming yourself for having the wrong reaction, because that shame is just going to make it a lot harder to break the pattern of taking things personally in future. Here are a few things to consider if you are someone who takes things personally. Number one, stop being so hard on yourself. There is nothing wrong with you if you react like this. If you feel like a victim, respond with anger, lash out, or don't have an ideal adult reaction to difficult situations, there is nothing to be ashamed of. The cultural narratives around this that focus on rise above it, etc., are a bit unrealistic, because the reality is that most of us are coming at life with deeply hurt and frightened parts of us that get enormously triggered in situations where there is rejection, failure, or loss. It often simply doesn't feel possible to react in any other way. If you layer shame and fear on top of that by being hard on yourself, then you're just going to make change impossible. So the first step is to apply a boatload of self-compassion and not shame yourself for whatever your reaction is. If you would eventually like to be able to respond differently, then you need to accept yourself as you are in that moment. Number two, get curious about why this is your response. Most reactions can be traced back to something. If you take things personally, it's not your fault. It's most likely what was modeled to you as a child or a reflection of having low self-worth. However, at this moment in time, you have a choice to start examining the alternative options available to you when it comes to how you respond. Because even the most ingrained reactions can be changed. There are always alternatives. You don't have to keep doing what you've always done. It's not part of your personality. It's not just who you are. It's a learned behavior, i.e. a habit, and something that is learned can be unlearned too. Number three, start noticing what triggers you and what is triggered in you. For example, are you being triggered by rejection to the point of fear or terror, as if you can't survive without that person in your life? This is the starting point for finding solutions, because when you know what makes this response happen and what the nature of the response is, you can then begin looking for solutions, alternative responses, and the healing that can free you from these cycles. I need to mention the nervous system here. Hurtful words and actions can trigger a threat response in us that moves us from feeling calm to feeling panicky, angry, or frozen. And when you move into that threat state, you'll find it much harder to disengage from whatever has upset you. You're likely to ruminate and catastrophize. And while your body stays in an activated state like this, you'll find it really hard to get perspective on the situation, because your body is sending all its resources to what it believes you need to survive a threat. And the part of the brain where you'll find perspective is not one of these areas. So look out for your physical response, as this is often where you'll find the first signs of being triggered, such as a faster heartbeat or a tight chest. You can also use your nervous system to help calm yourself down and take the sting out of the tail of personal comments or actions. Nervous system flexibility like this means you can navigate whatever is being said or done to you with much more agility, instead of getting stuck in an angry or panicked state. This part of the process is especially powerful when done with a coach who can reflect back on what you may not be able to see in yourself and help you explore the options for managing your triggers, including the nervous system work. Number four, fill in the gaps in your own self-worth and self-esteem. This is a big and chunky topic that can take many forms because it's going to be different for everyone. But it really is a good idea to spend some time looking at where you feel the most worthless in life and where you are automatically assuming that you're not as good or as deserving as other people. This could mean tackling your inner critic that tells you rejection is unsurvivable, or ego stories that make you feel like you're always the victim. It might be about breaking through a rigid comfort zone or getting into your body more instead of trying to think your way to confidence and self-esteem. It might just be sitting with painful feelings about your worth as a person that have come from the past or from recent relationships, rather than numbing yourself with distractions like food or Netflix or dating apps every time that pain starts to arise. Low self-worth and low self-esteem are going to make you hyper-reactive to any kind of external criticism or comment, because it will reflect what you feel inside and make the worst feel true. That hurts and it's scary. But when your self-worth and self-esteem are higher, whatever other people do and say can begin to feel like water off a duck's back. For example, someone recently lashed out at me and called me mean because I was setting a boundary and didn't give them exactly what they wanted in that moment. A decade ago, that would have had me questioning myself, thinking I was mean and fearing the worst. This time, because my self-esteem and self-worth are much higher, I had a little flicker of reaction to what they said. And then I thought, do you know what? I know that I am not mean, and I know that they know that too. So because my self-worth and self-esteem were higher, I could just let the comments slide away. Whereas in the past, I might have taken it very personally, not spoken to them again or caused an argument. It just made things much easier for me. And that's why it is so worth working on your self-worth and self-esteem. Number 5, acknowledge the situation you are in. The reality is that there are some situations in life where no matter how solid your self-worth or internal validation is, you are still going to feel personally attacked because you are being personally attacked. Sexism in the workplace is a really good example of this, being belittled, put down, or held back because of your gender. If you're in that position, then it's really important to acknowledge that this is a tough situation that anyone would take personally. It's not you, it's them. Just acknowledging that and talking to others who might have experienced the same can often be enough to lift the anger that can accompany something like this. So when it comes to not taking things personally, it's a really good idea to have a little toolkit or a list of things you can go over every time you feel that reaction happening. Every time you feel like you're slipping into that hurt, resentful state, gently guide yourself back to these things. How someone else behaves, what they say, what they do, it says everything about them and nothing about you. I know it's hard to accept this if you've never believed it, but your worth remains the same even if someone rejects, criticizes, hurts, or shames you. Learn some self-soothing tools that will help with moving your nervous system back to a state of calm when you're having a response to something that someone else has said or done. I've shared a few of these tools on podcast episodes in the past, including the physiological sigh. So this is a breathing technique that I personally have found really effective, and it goes a bit like this. You take in a breath of air, sip in another breath at the top, and then exhale with a long sigh. So if you do that 10-15 times, you'll find that it activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your calming and soothing response, and it will help you to let go of any tension or anger that is manifesting in your body as a result of something that's been said or done. Another thing to remember is that we are adults and adults can deal with disappointment. Being disappointed is temporary. You can let it go if you choose to and you don't have to react to it. Yes, it hurts, but it's a survivable hurt and it's worth reminding yourself of that whenever you feel it. Another important thing to remember is that what is for you won't pass you by. It just won't. All that's happening when you're rejected or turned down, etc., is that what isn't for you is being removed to make space for what is. That may sound naive or woo, but actually believing that is going to make you feel a lot more optimistic about your life and it will be a lot easier to let go of the things which clearly aren't for you. And finally, remember that you can't please all the people all the time and you don't even need to try. In fact, if you're truly being your authentic self, then not everyone is going to like or value you. The sooner you accept that that is fine and that is healthy and it's the same for everyone else too, the easier life will feel. What is so often missing in wellness narratives around this today is the reality that you can't get rid of your faults and flaws by ignoring the part of you that they come from. If you are hurting, then you are hurting, and whatever part of you that's hurting needs attention. Putting your feelings in a box, forcing yourself to move on before you're ready, or suppressing real self-expression so as to maintain an exterior that others will find acceptable isn't going to give that part of you that is hurting what it really needs. And most of the time, that part of you is just going to get louder and more attention-seeking if you don't give it what it needs. Much more effective is embracing the parts of you that you're not proud of or that you fear make you unlovable and giving those parts of you what they need that maybe they didn't get earlier in life. For example, if you've ever been told that you play the victim, it's probably because at some point in your life, someone has made you feel truly powerless. Shaming yourself for that isn't going to make it go away. Trying to force yourself not to feel like that isn't going to make it go away either. But deep diving into why you feel like that and what you need to stop feeling like it is. Resilience coaching is a safe space in which to show up with all of these different parts of you and start making more sense of why you react like you do so that you can ease into genuine change and stop taking things so personally. This benefits resilience because it allows you to be consistent, to bounce back, to adapt, and to be more flexible no matter what life throws at you. The sooner you stop seeing a reaction like taking something personally as a flaw that you need to eradicate and start seeing it as a sign that something in you needs support, love, or just a different way of doing things, the sooner you'll be able to free yourself from overreactivity to what other people say and do. So I'm going to continue doing these solo episodes, and the next one is all about the mindset that makes fitness motivation simple. If you're someone whose mindset often derails your fitness goals, then tune in later this week for a special interview with someone who can help. I'm also delighted to say that the full-length guest episodes kick off this week too, starting with exploring that thing that sometimes seems so hard and raw and yet which we all want and benefit from, connection. So that's coming soon. And don't forget that in the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at AlexResilienceCoach and online at shore-coaching, shore-coaching.com. If you'd like to do a deep dive into more mindset and self-compassion healing, this is at the heart of what we do in resilience coaching. There's a link in the show notes of this episode to book a free 10-minute intro call if you'd like to find out what it's all about. Thank you so much for listening. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please do leave us a review on Spotify or iTunes because it really makes a difference to how many more people we can reach.